Coming to you live from the Pain and Suffering Studios, empowered by StreamYard, always, all hail the duck, Tom.
Fuck
it. It is the Sons of Honarchy podcast. I am one of your co-hosts, Steve-O. You can find me on Venmo at SMSMRT. You can also find me on Twitter at DrunkShySoxFan. And joining me, as always, is...
Take Tommy. And on this episode, I owe everyone an apology for pumping this team up out of the All-Star break. All of this brought to you by us.
Just make sure you rate, subscribe, review. Make sure you give us a nice solid 4-star rating. We are the 4-star podcast in the 4-star city, representing a very less than 4-star performance from this ball club throughout this season. Before we hop into talking about this team and how miserable it is to watch them, Tom, how you doing?
I'm good, man. I just went on vacation. It was awesome.
You were in Door County, right?
Door County. Yeah, I got some new Glarus beer in the fridge as a token of my
very nice
travels. Very nice, very nice. The
Moon Man, of course. Oh, good call. Nice variety.
Yeah, man. I want all the flavors. I want all the flavors all the time.
Sometimes Moon Man greater than Spotted Cow.
Moon Man greater than Spotted Cow, actually.
I agree.
Yeah. Apparently, agree. Moon Man is the name of a dog.
Interesting. Did not know that. Tom, is it me or did we go to a bar once on the northwest side of Chicago where they had, was it either two women or Moon Men on draft? I swear to God.
I don't believe you.
I know. I'm like tripping. My dad is like that. My dad tells me it's not a possibility.
It's not possible.
I swear to God, it's possible.
Only in Wisconsin. That's what they say.
Only in Wisconsin, apparently.
I'm
just tripping.
I'm hallucinating. High as balls is what I think.
I'm not. That's another reason why we need to crank through this episode so that I can go into the kitchen and crack
and
open
get
my
high as balls? Yeah. Okay, yeah, good. Exactly. How are you,
good? Oh, awful. We are 17 days away from opening up our school building to families for open house / orientation, and my God, could we not be more ill prepared?
Well, we could
be more ill prepared. I feel like I am doing everything I possibly can to keep my head above water, and I'm not a good swimmer, so there's an analogy for you.
I like that. It's because you don't float. You don't have a fatty tissue.
I guess. I am getting a little bit, actually, these days. So
beer tastes good.
That's why I drink.
No, it's because you drink. Not
well,
why.
Both. It's why I drink and because I drink. My back is getting sore. My knees are giving out. I'm becoming a woman.
My back. I want 150,000. So that's not a quote for $20.
I love that you just quoted Friday. Thank you. I was telling actually one of our APs that we used to have Fridays.
Yes, we did. Yeah.
I miss Fridays. We should have a Friday one of these times.
Yeah. Well, I always felt like a fraud because, well, I don't smoke, so.
Edibles? Question mark.
I don't do the weed.
You don't partake in the herbal essences, apparently.
No.
And that is where you're different from my other podcast co-host, unfortunately.
He exclusively partakes in those essences. I think he eats other foods.
Oh yes, he does. He likes food. Don't get me wrong. And that's not a fat joke, even though
he fucking
would.
Dare you. Lance Lynn is good. Lance Lynn's grave is still warm, and you are fucking dancing on it like an asshole with that comment. You already know.
I mean, I was alluding to Carrie and not Lance Lynn. I love Carrie.
I knew where you were going.
One of them. But yeah, let's hop right into it. Let's make this episode as short as we possibly can, because you know what? I don't know.
I can talk to you for a fucking hour.
I know you can. I love you.
You can't stop me from making this an hour-long episode.
Not not today.
You literally Satan. Can't stop me. Not today. Satan.
Yeah. Because I really don't want to talk about this baseball team for that long. I really
okay,
don't
then I have one more story for you.
Baseball for that long. I have no time for stories. Yes. Tell me, what are we?
We are a My Dog Tried to Bite Through My Door podcast.
That's some dumb shit.
That's
and here's the question though.
White Sox one, baseball podcast. It was the one without eyes.
The one without eyes, of course.
Yeah, he was alone and he found out he was alone. It does take him a long time to find out if he's alone. And he went to the back door and just started trying to bite through it. So
fantastic.
There's paint Jack, chips everywhere.
Jack needs to be put down. Bro.
Oh my god.
I'm sorry.
He literally just got better. He's better now. He's better now.
He's blind as a bat. He's chewing through doors trying to escape. He's trying to find the fucking what do they call that? The rainbow gate?
He's trying to find the hereafter, if you will.
Exactly. Hey, man, I've been watching the...
Or will get me to heaven.
I've been watching Avatar The Last Airbender as kind of like a turn my brain off and not think about anything. And
great show. Great show for that exact activity.
Thank you. And I think that Jack needs to be reincarnated as somebody else. He's lived a good life.
Avatar? You think he's the Avatar? Man, no. He's not coming back as anything, man. He gonna be dirt.
God made dirt and dirt don't hurt. So on that note, you did say that we are a White Sox baseball podcast. So we'll talk a little bit of White Sox baseball. The White Sox traded some guys.
Thank God. Dude, I honestly, okay, really quick, if we could step back like 15 days, probably the last time we recorded. I honestly, you could have convinced me
that Rick Hahn was going to sit on his ass and do nothing.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Same.
I thought that going into the Gio and Lopez trade. Before that happened, I was like, yeah, Rick Hahn is going to sit on his ass and do nothing. I was talking to my principal, the elementary school principal about it, big baseball guy. Mm-hmm. And he was like, what is Rick Hahn doing? Like, why have you guys not sold off yet? And I'm like, because Rick Hahn is so fucking comfortable in his job and he's going nowhere. So why would he do anything? Correct. It's like when you don't have any accountability and nobody's pressing you to do anything, then why would you do it? So yeah, I'm actually surprised at the amount of moves that they've made so far. Is it enough for you, Tom?
You know, look, I'm not. Gone are the days of prospect hugging for me. You know, I don't give a shit about all these no-name guys we got. Like maybe Edgar Quero, but yeah. He's not even going to be here next year. You know what I mean?
Oh no.
So
I see Rick Hahn's vision with the Corey Lee and Edgar Quero. It's like Quero, but there's no E, so it's Quero.
No, there is an E. There's no I.
There's no I. My bad. E in Spanish.
Quero.
The I is pronounced E.
Yeah, you were being so with it.
Yes. Oh, 1,000%.
You got that Duolingo going over there, Steve?
You know, I actually need to get back on Duolingo if I'm going to be traveling South America here in a couple years.
Hey. You're going to plan 2 years ahead. I'm gonna put a bet now, a six-pack, that you're not going to be speaking Spanish in 2 years.
Speak, like, fluently?
Correct.
Not a fucking chance, no.
Damn, I almost made out like a bandit right there.
A little bit of conversational Spanish, yes. As long as I get back to my college days, then we're actually in a good spot.
Yeah, you took Spanish in college.
I did. I took 3 semesters.
You almost minored in Spanish.
I did. They were like, you got to take 3 more classes. And I was like, no, I barely got by this last one with a C.
No, I don't. I do not have to take 3 more classes.
My God. Linda Parkin kicked my ass.
As she should.
Yeah. Hardest classes I ever took were Spanish classes. I was so ill prepared from high school. Our high school Spanish classes were a joke.
Rockford's finest institution.
Exactly. Taught Spanish by some white lady from Durand, Illinois. Yeah. Okay. Like that tells you everything that you need to know.
Okay. There, that's That's everything. That's everything.
Right. But yeah, Edgar Caro and Corey Lee here. I can tell you exactly what Rick Hahn's
business. Separate trades, by the way.
Separate trades, which we'll, you know, maybe we should talk about the trades first and then we'll
Down. Everybody should know, but right. Okay. We took the package that we got from the Nationals and offloaded it. Take the old prospects and make them into new prospects.
Before we go any further on that, so Gio and Lopez for Kai Bush and Edgar Caro.
Yes.
At this point, did the Nationals win the Adam Eaton trade?
Of course they did. They got a series out of it.
They did. They got a series out of it. And I thought, I actually thought for a hot second that Adam Eaton might be the World Series MVP that year.
He was.
Kidding. He was decent.
He
not
was
lie.
There and participating. He's no Herbie Hancock, though.
Herbie.
Who the fuck was? Who the fuck won it? It was Herbie.
Are you talking Howard? Are you talking about Howie Kendrick's
home run? Yeah. Howie Kendrick got the MVP of the World Series that year. That's what I said.
Did he actually win Herbie Hancock? Wait, did he actually win?
Howie Kendrick, 100%.
I'm fact check. No, Steven Strasburg won MVP. He hit the game when Herbie Hancock, aka Howie Kendrick, is the one
maybe
who
it was the NLCS that he won the.
Well, he had like a clutch home run in one of them, right, or both of them. But yeah, no, Steven Strasburg was the World Series MVP.
Yeah.
Wow. R.I.P. to that career. Holy crap, dude.
All right. See, okay, I'm not that fucking dumb. NLCS MVP.
Herbie Hancock. So the Nationals won that trade. Awesome. So right now it's looking like the Red Sox are about to officially win the after Kopech's last start.
Unless Edgar Caro becomes the greatest catcher in White Sox history.
Oh boy, yeah, back on this one. We'll talk about that one in a minute. Here.
No. Keep going. Sorry.
Next trade. Yes. Lance Lynn. Fat. And Joe
what
Kelly.
The fuck, dude?
I had to get it in.
Oh
one
my
last time.
God.
Joe
Kelly's going back where he belongs, let's be honest.
Yeah. And he's at home. Like, this is his hometown. Exactly. He's playing for his hometown crowd, and the fans love him. And what did he do in his first start or his first time back? He just absolutely shined out of the pen. But the White Sox out of that trade got a legend, Trace Thompson back.
Hell yeah. Can't wait.
I'm going to talk about that one too in a minute.
He's got to be so upset. He must be so upset that he's back here.
Oh yeah, 1,000%.
He's like, what the fuck? I did everything to get out of that organization.
Right. Jordan Leisure was another piece in that trade who I know nothing about. I think he was just an add-on. Jordan Leisure is probably like the who's a good example? Maybe like the
Marco Luis, Polo.
Luis Alexander Basabe of
who
or the other irrelevant? There was one more irrelevant name in that trade. So,
oh my god,
just can't
remember. Do you remember the Yankees trade that we had? Tito Polo. Does anybody remember?
Yes, the Tito Polo.
that's the same energy from Jordan Leisure. I feel
wasn't
like.
Ian Ian Clarkin part of that?
That's more like it because they're both pitchers. Tito Polo was a position player. But
I thought Tito Polo might become something. I really thought that who's the guy Ian that I just Clarkin. Mentioned? Ian Clarkin. I really thought that he might be the shit. Victor Diaz. That's the other name from the Kopech and Moncada trade.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about this Jordan Leisure cat.
Victor Diaz.
But I'm missing Nick Nestrini here. Yes. He's a big prospect. He's now the number 5 prospect in the White Sox system.
Nick Nasty, just like that.
Nick Nasty. So I really don't know anything about him other than he is now a top prospect in the White Sox.
He was like top 10 for the Dodgers, and now he's top
five. Four. I apologize. He hopped. I swear he was below. Yeah. No, maybe he wasn't below Brian Ramos, but he's four behind Montgomery, Caro, Schultz.
It's that bullshit stat that everybody's been retweeting that's like three of the top six White Sox prospects were not in the organization 2 weeks ago.
Yep. You know? Well, it's just true. I mean, it's wild.
Yeah, it's factual. And it's like everybody's farm systems are better than ours.
We're bottom of the barrel, 26th to start the year. Now we're
going to be top heavy again, and then we'll graduate this little crap and still be shitty. And
the thing is, only one of these guys is top 100, so you can't even say that the White Sox are top heavy.
They're just bad.
Yeah, not great. and Nastrini has not been amazing, but then again, he is once again. Can't write off some of these dudes. He's a prospect, right? We don't 100% know. And the last trade that we have not yet talked about is the Kendall Graveman trade for Corey Lee, catcher in the Houston system.
Mm-hmm. A lot of folks are saying that's an overpay, which cool by me.
An overpay by Houston?
Yeah.
Okay. I hope they're right. Once again, I mean, we're talking about a catcher who is like, I don't know, an average ish hitter. I know nothing about how he is defensively. That would require me to do research, which I really don't do for this show anymore.
The whole thing that really frustrates me, right, is that we did this bullshit about like we're always thinking about the prospects, trust the prospects. Dude, we thought we were fucking done with that shit forever.
Oh no. Wrong. We back.
Rebuild
6.0. Oh my God. I don't know about rebuild 6.0.
Yeah.
2. Because once again,
2.0.
Here's the thing, though. If the White Sox were truly rebuilding, then you would see probably a lot more. You'd see probably a lot more active trade deadline from Rick Hott, right?
A lot more active. Man, you just listed. They got rid of five guys. What do you? That's five. That's 1/5 of their team, Steve.
So two rentals. No, pardon me. Yeah, two. Wait, was Kelly? No, Kelly is a rental too. So three rentals. And one rental ish with Lynn because it's a team option.
Yeah,
and then Graveman has one more year of control.
So my point being, once again, 1/5 of their team has been traded away.
So my question to you then would be, if you think that this is a rebuild, then why hasn't a guy like Dylan Cease been moved?
Too much control. They think they're going to be good by the last year of his, you know, whatever. They think they're going to be good next year.
That's bold.
Correct. It is bold. But that's why, well, no, there's a lot of reasons why Tim Anderson hasn't been moved, but that's one of them, is that they think they can compete next year.
Because child support payments are due tomorrow. It's the beginning of the month.
Oh, sorry, I had to.
Did you have to, or did you preferred to get that out?
Both.
How dare
sometimes when something's built up. I've been really thinking about tweeting that. Should I think twice?
Think twice. Tim Anderson is very active on Twitter.
I want all that smoke from TA7.
TA7. Look, like I don't think it's going to get too much more extreme than it's already gotten. They're trading a lot of arms arms is what is going to get them like a return in this market. I mean, I think, okay, this is something we wanted to talk about, is like the pitching is actually netting some kind of a return, even though it's rentals for the most part. Like you said, like, is it even really a rebuild if you're trading these bullshit guys that have no control? It's like, I mean, no, it's not really a rebuild, but they're actually getting something back because the market is the opposite of saturated, whatever the fuck, dry.
I mean, just not deep.
Ooh, yikes. Yo. Anyway, so
wow.
But on the flip side, the bats, right? Jamer Candelario, which, according to John Morosi, mind you, is the best bet that will be traded this during this, you know, trade deadline. And he only got two no-name prospects from our friends up north. So I'm just saying, like, I don't think any position players on the White Sox are going anywhere. Full stop. The asking price will be higher than the market demand for those prospects.
Yeah. I mean,
call me crazy. This is you're not going to see another trade today or tomorrow. Whatever. It's not happening.
You're not going to see another single trade. Is that what you're telling me? Not a single trade?
Not from the White Sox.
No, from the White Sox, probably not. No, I agree. Rick Hahn has done his due diligence now with three trades, and he's now, you know, taking a nap on the couch, and he's ready to wake me up when September ends. that's the Rick Hahn anthem right now.
Absolutely.
Not wake me after the parade, which is what he once said. There's no way he's around next year, right? There's no way.
He is. He is absolutely around. He might get promoted, Steve. That's what they did with the last GM. But
the last GM at least won a World Series.
Yes, that's true. I wanted to point out, though, that, like, to reiterate, to kind of reemphasize, this is the last, all the trades. We've listed the three trades. That's going to be all the trades this deadline, mark my words. Rick Hahn always talks about he likes to get ahead of the market. He likes to make his moves early and when nobody's paying attention is what he always fucking hints at. But, like, is that a good thing or not? I don't think it's a good thing. They overpaid for Yasmani Grandal. But
right, exactly. Yeah. Or signing Leury Garcia to a 3-year deal.
The day after the season ended, basically.
Yeah, or the AJ Pollock signing too.
That was really good, Steve. I don't know what you're talking about.
Fantastic signing, way ahead of the curve too.
Honestly, AJ Pollock was probably the smartest guy in the room though, because he got that money and then still said, "No, fuck that. I would rather make less money and play for a different team."
That's wild to me. That just goes to show how
I think he's the smartest guy.
I think that just goes to show how bad this organization is.
Yes.
But somebody walked away from more money to go play for somebody else because they hated it that much. And it has nothing to do with probably the city or the surrounding area because, you know, people live wherever. And it's not even like a shitty fan base. It's not, you know. You've got fans that
we're not that nice.
Semi fill up the ballpark, even when they're shitty. Like, think about it this year. You still got some fans that show up. It's not Oakland.
Right. Well,
it's not a complete ghost town. It's not Tampa Bay. Like,
I think Tampa Bay is out.
Well, Tampa Bay is probably kicking our ass in attendance now, but
yeah, which is pure and utter depression considering the state of their ballpark. Their ballpark is dog shit.
It's not Baltimore when they were sucking. Like,
yeah.
Seriously. Think about how bad this ball club is. And yeah, I mean, now the seats are starting to not be filled, but
they're pretty fucking bare.
They're awful right now. I mean, they are god awful. They're almost one of the top three or bottom three teams in the league to have the top chance at number one overall pick. At this point, like, go all in for Tankathon.
They just took a series from the Guardians, so
absolutely incredible that they actually won two games that series. I was at the game on Friday. Good time.
It's still fun when the home team wins, you know.
But three measly runs. And two of them were solo shots.
Yep. Jake Berger, greatest player in White Sox history.
Behind Luis Robert, but that's fine.
The best thing to come out of the rebuild.
Luis Robert.
So we agree.
No, wrong. Disaster Personal is the best thing to come out of the rebuild.
The song, not the person who wrote it.
Absolutely, the song, 1,000%. And the personal disaster that has happened on the field since the song came out.
Look, it's not his fault his disc is slipping, man.
It's the team's
fault for fucking putting him on the field, though.
How he is not just shut down for the year is beyond me, considering he has one more year of team control.
Yep. They should have put him up. They should have had him do the surgery right away as soon as they found out about it.
And then he got injured again on Saturday, sliding in a home plate, right? Shut him the fuck down. What are you guys doing? You are planning on keeping him. There's no way you're dumping a $25 million salary and not giving him a chance next year.
Right.
So why haven't you tabled him? It just goes to show that
such a good question.
The organizational decisions that go into, like, how long a guy is on the DL, when a guy goes on the DL or the IL now, like, there is no consistency. Nothing makes sense. There's hardly ever logic that goes into it. They carry guys that they don't put on the IL who are injured on the bench without bringing guys up. It's mind boggling. It's a
huge strain on everybody else.
And we all thought it was a Tony. And that's the funny thing, too, is like, as bad as Tony La Russa was as a manager and how out of touch he was, at least, like, we know it wasn't just a Tony problem. Okay. It's an organizational problem. They still fucking do it.
It's a Rick Hahn problem, right?
Like, I mean, it's a Rick Hahn problem. It's whoever's underneath Rick Hahn making the shots behind the scenes.
They don't
when it comes
pay
to lineup construction.
I
mean, they do have a small
front office,
small analytics department, I guess.
Okay, sorry. There's 40 people in the front office, right? Is that it's something, some stupidly low number like that? 40 people, like in running.
I don't think it's that many.
Yeah, and they're running a multi. Well, yes, they're running amok. But think about having like a 20. What is it? Like a 100? No, it's like a $197 million product with the White Sox baseball personnel specifically, like the players themselves are.
Well, not this year.
Roughly,
payroll's down. We're down to about what now? 160.
Well,
before
the trades, I thought it was up near 190, 195. Fact check me while I keep going.
Mm-hmm.
But point being, you have less than 50 people managing that large of an asset. How fucking stupid do you have to be? Like, what other company in the world would have that large of an asset and just, here's, you know, a couple dozen people, a few dozen people. That should be enough to kind of, you know, hold that down. That's absurd. That's so fucking stupid. You need you need to pull Dodgers and Tampa. How many times have we fucking said it? Dodgers, Tampa Bay, you know, even the fucking Cardinals have a lot of people. Like just hire more of people with good ideas.
Yep.
With any idea.
Well,
because
it makes sense
the Sox
to start,
have none.
It would make sense for people in these organizations to also want, like, if they're a low ranking person in the analytics department to want a promotion. And if they're not going to get a promotion within their organization, then why aren't we plucking them? Mm-hmm. This is Chicago. We can afford to pay them.
Mm-hmm.
As long as the product on the field doesn't completely suck ass. You can be a 500 ball club and still fill up seats. They did it last year.
100%. That's exactly what they did last year.
Yeah. $162 million payroll. By
all right. You were on it. You were right on it.
It's all good. So, yeah, it's just aggravating. It's why I don't want to talk about this team for more than a half hour, but we're going to anyway.
Stop me.
You wanted to talk about these catching I wanted to talk about these catching prospects real quick. And why did Rick Hahn trade for two of them? Number one, Yasmani Grandal's washed. The reason why nobody's going to trade for him is that exact reason. So, I mean, that's the thing, too, is nobody wants Tim Anderson because the White Sox are going to ask for a top 100 prospect, and nobody's willing to take that risk.
Correct.
Yasmani Grandal is worth a bag of balls at this point, and the White Sox aren't going to get rid of him for that.
No.
What are some other players? Aloy Jimenez would cost too much because he's under team control. And
He's part of the potential. Next generation or whatever. Luis Robert, we already know.
Right. And plus another team would actually full-time DH him and he'd hit 40 home runs in whatever ballpark he goes to. And the White Sox know that.
Yes.
Who else am I missing?
Cincinnati would be such a good fit for Eloy. That would be so wild, like just having him hit 50 bombs in Great American Ballpark.
Yeah, dude, just hit tanks constantly.
It would be amazing. Absolute anyway, tanks. Not that I don't want Eloy Jimenez on my team, but
right,
that's a contender who would be looking for something like that.
Yeah, and a contender's not going to trade for Elvis Andrus. A contender.
Why not? Wait. I think that's actually a really good fit for the Texas Rangers.
There you go.
The feel good story.
Stealing bases again, baby. At age 35.
It's so depressing.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's a joke. Gavin Sheets has no value now. So yeah.
Left-handed power bat.
That is a league average hitter against righties. And is useless against lefties.
Let's put the power bat in quotes, actually. Power
bat. Power bat. I mean, the vision with the catchers is that Monty Grandal's washed up. Corey Lee is this aging prospect.
What about
Houston.
Semi Savalas, Steve?
Bad. Just bad. Can't hit. If he could hit, maybe. If he could hit a little bit.
Yeah.
He just can't hit on the big league level. I mean, it's been proven time and time again. Except for the two or three times a year he can have a multi-homer game.
Yeah. Three times a year, he's going to hit two dongs, sometimes three. Look out.
Exactly. He's like on a list of like multi-homer Sox leaders, actually. I think he's like in the top 10 list or some shit.
He's it's the classic Sebi Zavala quote or stat, rather, where he's the only player in MLB history to hit his first three home runs in the same game.
It's crazy. That's an amazing stat right there.
He'll always be in Cooperstown.
That is going to be a Chicago baseball trivia question at some point.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
What White Sox catcher
hit all three of his first home runs in the same game?
Only MLB player to do it. But yeah, you've got Corey Lee, AAA prospect already. The hope is probably that he's ready. I can see the White Sox calling him up in September. Why wouldn't you?
Exactly. No, there's no reason not to. You don't want to put any more miles on Yasmani Grandal's legs than you have to.
DFA him in September at this point. Yeah. Like, unless he starts pulling numbers out his ass like he did at the second half of 21 when he got healthy.
It's his swan song. Just let him play it out. I mean, fuck it, right?
No.
Like, doesn't matter.
At that point, you DFA him and you let the Yankees take a chance on him in spring training next year.
What advantage does that provide for? No, that's not happening.
Well, the Yankees don't have a catcher.
Well, then trade. Don't just DFA him. Like, what the fuck?
Well, the Yankees will take him for a bag of balls right now, is what I'm saying. So.
Oh, my God.
I mean, he's pretty. Yeah. I mean, what you're going to get, I don't even think you're getting a prospect for him. I think you're getting cash considerations.
No, that's so sad.
And Edgar Caro is not ready yet, and the hope is that he's going to be ready maybe late 24, early 25.
Edgar Caro.
So, and his ceiling is probably higher than Corey Lee's.
Corey Lee is almost major league ready though. So like that's the advantage with that is that you just like, you know, whatever, fuck him. He'll be there next year.
It's like a league average hitter in AAA. That's what he is.
Can't wait for him to be below league average in the major leagues.
He's still hitting better than Sebi then.
what is Sebi's OPS plus 40?
Something like that. 22? I can check it in a minute. I don't even want to think about it, to be honest with you. It's got to be close to like 50-something. It's got to be like James McCann-esque the year before the White Sox got him.
James McCann he's really good. He backs up for Adley Rutschman now. That's an important job.
It is, because Adley needs his days off, I guess. Sebi Zavala had a positive war going into the year. He is now a negative 0.6 war. Well, he's negative 0.6 WAR this year, making him a negative WAR player overall now. His oh Jesus Christ, dude, he is a 35 OPS plus.
All right, he is worth a third of a major league player at the plate, one third.
Holy shit, dude! That's who the White Sox are trotting out.
Let's go, White Sox, baby!
Wow, we still got to talk about this team.
Life is pain.
It really is. My job is killing me right now. The White Sox. I have to go on StreamYard twice a week and talk about this team. It's ridiculous.
You get to.
Sure, we'll call it that. Tom, there's no way this team's competing in 24, right?
They are going to be. Look, Steve, the AL Central sucks ass.
It does, but there's no
so
way.
Bad.
What is this team gonna do, man?
I mean, look, Corey Lee. Right. Okay. So there's one
Corey Lee and Andrew Vaughn. The Cal connection is going to make them so much better.
Yes.
Right? It's like when we signed Yonder Alonso, man. That should have Yonder Alonso and John Jay, the 305 connection. Manny Machado should have just dropped his contract, nulled his contract right there, and came to the South Side.
At a bargain.
With incentives, though. Bargain with incentives.
Oh, my God. Something about me says, if we had Manny Machado, we'd actually be really good, though. I know it didn't work for the Padres, but.
Yeah. Yoan Moncada would have had to learn to play second base.
Yeah. What a tragedy that would have been. We never would have seen Jake Berger at second, though.
Then again, too, they probably don't sign Moncada the huge extension, too, if they sign Machado. This is why. So this is why you bet on players who have multiple good years instead of just one.
Dallas Keuchel was really good, Steve.
For one year of his career. That's why
I said
one
that.
Fucking year. We want the one-year wonders. Yeah. Rick Hahn wants
to have
two
a career year. Just have
two
a
things.
Year.
Guys who have career years, at least once in their career.
And everybody's gonna have a career year one year.
Because washed up veterans are Kenny Williams thing. Do you know what Rick Hahn's thing is? Prospects from 3 years ago that never panned out.
Trace Thompson's calling.
Clint Frazier,
not bad.
Tukey Toussaint.
AJ Reed, isn't it?
Who, by the way, Tukey was fantastic on Friday. I literally yelled out on the concourse, Tukey the GOAT. So
Tukey's I don't dislike how he's played. So.
Say what you will about Tukey Toussaint, but he's actually playing like he was a top 100 prospect 4 years ago.
Tukey Toussaint and Zach Remillard are my favorite players on the White Sox.
That's wow.
That isn't that depressing though?
That's a good place to wrap this thing up.
Oh, life is bitch. I should get a Zach Remillard jersey just to reminisce about this season, how terrible it was.
To reminisce about the season, how terrible it is, but you do realize your opening day, by the way, can you hear the dog barking?
Yeah, it's, I did.
And this is why we take him on three walks a day.
Bo.
Buddy Bo. You should buy a Zach Remillard jersey, not for that reason. I mean, you can reminisce about how bad this season is, but I will tell you this. Your starting second baseman next year.
Mm-hmm.
Opening day, 2024.
Yes.
Wherever they're playing. I can't remember where they open up. I know they got the Braves at home, but I don't know where they open up on the road. It actually might be at home against the Braves. That being said, starting second baseman, Tom.
Zach Remillard
is going to be 100%. Your starting second baseman.
And I can't wait.
Without a doubt.
He'll show up with his jersey on my back.
Let's go, baby. I mean, there's with the way he's playing.
He's the best player on the team.
No, he's shut the fuck. 88 would like a word.
I've never heard of Luis Robert. I don't know what you're talking about. Zach Remillard plays grinder ball. He brings his lunch pail.
Scrappy white guys with no athletic ability. I'm kidding.
You don't have to be kidding. That's absolutely accurate.
Hey, I saw him snag a ball.
Loves those guys.
I saw Kirk Heinrich.
Yes.
He is the Kirk Heinrich. No, he's not. I can't even go that far. Kirk Heinrich was actually good.
And he went to fucking KU and balled out there too. Kirk Heinrich. Captain Kirk was actually the GOAT.
Captain Kirk was actually a good player, yes.
Yes. Zach Remillard is actually a good player as well.
That being said, the White Sox are not going to find a solution at second base because they think they found one, Zach Remillard. So,
I live with it. Them.
I know you're excited.
Let's go, baby.
I am
Cesar Hernandez 2.0. I remember how excited I was for Cesar Hernandez.
Go ahead. Wait, are you asking me? Do you?
Yeah.
Do I remember how excited you were?
Yes.
I do. I
wanted to buy a jersey.
I'm gonna let that. I'm letting you let. I'm letting that one. I'm forgiving you of that one.
Shitty below average Rick.
Well, you have a thing for
baseman.
Shitty below average Rick Hahn signings. I mean, you love Wellington Castillo, so
greatest
you've
of all
always
time.
Been a beef. What is it? I'm boycott beef. What was yours?
Beef season or something like that. I can't remember.
Kirk Heinrich was never an all-star. Does Zach Remillard still have a higher ceiling?
No.
Let me put this into perspective. He was on the all-rookie team, and he was 2006-2007 all-defense. So Zach Remillard either has to win a Gold Glove or become an all-star to become.
No, he has to win two Gold Gloves to at least be on the same level as.
Why
Kirk
two?
Heinrich. Kirk Heinrich, you said he was on two.
No, he was on one.
Oh, shit.
06-07 is 1 year, a season in basketball, Tom. So
can you break
big,
you
big explain, Bulls guy here?
Explain the math to me. I big, don't understand.
Big Bulls guy over there to my left.
Oh, my dumbass. Okay. Yes.
So one Gold Glove or an All-Star?
One Gold Glove.
Can Zach Remillard do it?
He would need one Gold Glove and an All-Star to over...
To surpass. Yes,
to surpass. Exactly.
Saying to be on Kirk Heinrich's level.
Kirk Heinrich.
Do you think he can do that?
They'd also need to make a playoff run. Because I think the thing about Kirk Heinrich that makes Kirk Heinrich Kirk Heinrich, whoa, that was terrible. I will never repeat his name that many times in a row ever again. The thing that makes Kirk Heinrich him is that he was part of a team that won some games. Not that that era of the Bulls was like super great, but they made a couple.
Well, he was
like,
a starting playoff. Point guard, right?
Yeah, I mean, he was the starting point guard on a Bulls team that made it to the playoffs more than once.
Him Heinrich.
And so I don't know if you'll be. I mean, look, maybe he'll be the starting second baseman on your AL Central division winning 2024 Chicago White Sox, but
maybe
not.
He won't. Will he be the starting shortstop on at second
shortstop.
Or shortstop? Oops, second baseman on next year's team as long as he's healthy. Probably.
Yeah.
Will they be AL Central champions next year? Probably not. Investors, possibly you.
Oh my God. Wait, I forgot to tell you. This is what I should have led with is I got a phone call today. I was walking between concourses.
Worldwide.
No, from fucking. Hi, this is Gino from the Chicago White Sox. And I was like, I can't talk.
Who is Gino from the Chicago White Sox?
He's just my ticket rep. Whatever the fuck. I don't know.
You have a ticket rep and you don't even have a part season ticket package.
He, like, I think one time I checked the box, like, I may be interested in a 10 ticket package. And then I've gotten never ending fucking emails and calls.
Yeah. It's like me with the Bulls. It must be a Reinsdorf thing.
One time you said, I like the Bulls, maybe. And then they were like, to buy tickets.
Well, the problem is the Bulls were like, would you like to come out to more games? And I was like, yeah, I'd like to come out to more games. They're like, awesome. Buy more tickets then. And I was like,
maybe when I have all that expendable income. Man, Bulls tickets are expensive, fam. Mm-hmm. Like, people were complaining about the Cubs Sox tickets, which fair. But the face Bulls value, tickets, yes. Bulls are just like, man, what the fuck?
Yeah, I mean, what's bad is, I know you hate them, but I'm more excited to watch Connor Bedard and the scrummy team that the Blackhawks are going to put together than at either of the Reinsdorf organizations.
Yeah, well, they play in the same building, so there's that.
Yep. Tom, 45 minutes, this is enough for me.
I got 15 more minutes of content, Steve. Hold on now.
No, you don't. You're pulling shit out your ass. What hope do I have to bank on for 2024? Because you seem way more optimistic than
Zach
me.
Remillard, Corey Lee. Those are your two of your. That's like a good portion of your lineup. That they're going to be batting 6 and 7, man. That's pretty good.
This team sucks, period. Like, that's really all it comes down to. Andrew Vaughn is a waste of a number 4 overall pick. This is why
what
you don't draft
into him.
This is why,
dude,
you don't draft first baseman. Pardon me, 3. They drafted him 3. This is why you don't draft first baseman 3rd overall, even if they're
won Golden Spikes.
Even if they're the best hitting prospect, you just don't. It takes more than hitting to be a major league ready player.
He's not hitting, so
and that's the thing too. He's not hitting. I mean, it's not like his college. I mean, his college numbers were good, but it's not like he was off the charts. It's not like you saw like
he
wasn't like the
was,
next
though.
Sure thing.
But okay, the thing, the issue that I have,
AJ Reed was AJ Reed was a Golden Spikes winner. Okay, fuck this shit. Okay, like
the White Sox broke him. That's like that's just it. It's like they or they squandered his talent. You know, it's that kind of a situation where like if he was on a different club somewhere else, I'm sure he'd be much better.
Sure.
That, you said sure. It does make me feel better. So yes.
That there you go. That's exactly what I was going to say. As long as it helps you sleep at night. So, yeah, I mean, come on, Tom. Kyle Lewis was a Golden Spikes winner. Andrew Benintendi, Golden Spikes winner. AJ
and
Reed,
he's really
Golden
good.
Spikes winner. Mike Zunino, I guess he's, I don't know. Meh.
See, there's some legit players on there.
Golden yeah, Spikes sure. Later, Major League Buster talent. Posey and Bryce Harper and Steven Strasburg and David Price and Tim Lincecum, even Alex Gordon. Okay, I just named all of those in order.
Okay, those are all really fucking good players.
Yeah, exactly. Like even Alex Gordon, right?
Yeah,
for a few years, right?
Got a World
yeah,
Series.
Prospect development for the White Sox is awful. I mean, that's really where you got to start. We've been saying it for years.
I think we said it before the rebuild, didn't we?
Like Moncada's got to get back. That's a problem. And there's just so many things that have to go right for the White Sox in 24.
And they will. Let's go, baby. You got to catch lightning in a bottle once.
Exactly. Yeah. Not convinced at all. At all. And like I said, there's no way that I'm renewing my part season ticket package unless...
Big off
Pedro,
season.
Unless Pedro Grifol and Rick Hahn are both gone, or they go out and they spend a buku amount of money in free agency.
I want Rick Renteria back. I want him back.
Ricky's boys don't quit.
I at least liked Ricky. Pedro's kind of full of it, man. I'll admit it now.
Here's the problem. There's Jerry. And then there's Jerry's guy, Kenny. And then there's Kenny's guy, Rick. And then there's Rick's guy, Pedro. Like, that's it. That's the problem.
That's the ladder.
The shit trickles down. So, yeah. Let's just call it a season and hang it up. And I look forward to getting cheap bleacher seats again. And just hoping that the White Sox win when I go.
Yep, exactly. Cheer for them on the day that you're there.
It's fucking miserable, man.
I love it. It's so much fun.
I love that we had our hopes up so high
two years ago.
Two calendar years ago.
Yeah.
They were, holy shit. Okay, we're a little slow coming out of the All-Star break, but.
Yeah.
We're still really good.
First half or whatever.
We're still really good, and we're going to we're postseason bound. And oh, look at all the moves they're making, right?
Yep. it's really fun to see every other team make their moves this trade deadline. I've enjoying the trade deadline a lot, actually.
I hate that I'm more excited for the Cubs than I am for the White Sox right now. That's just the reality of things.
Literal pain. I like Cody Bellinger. I want to cheer for him. I like Jamer Candelario. I think that's a good pickup for them.
It's a great pickup for them, considering
I don't like Nicky Two Strikes. Yes, especially considering what they gave up.
Don't even get me started on Nicky Two Strikes too. Another terrible draft pick. No, for Rick Hahn and top 10 draft picks, man. Fucking fantastic time. Please, like, fire him into the sun. Never to return.
Oh,
you almost got me to an hour, buddy.
I tried my fucking
hardest. All right. Well, it's me signing off. Tommy could go and talk for the next 10 minutes if he really wants to do. But from the Pain and Misery headquarters over here in Oak Park, Illinois, it's your boy Steve-O signing off for another week of the Sons of Honarchy.
Whoop, whoop.
Cheers to brighter days.
Hey, that's next year, according to Rick Hahn.
There's always next year.
Oh, no.
Yikes.
Don't do that.
Have a good one, everybody. Peace.
Bye.